Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
We're all pumped up. Obviously, here we are in Chicago watching the Bears. You got the Rams coming in. Hopefully, the weather's bad. And you got a measuring stick for the Bears. We know who the real good teams are. And we don't know if the Bears are just outside that group or maybe busting their way in. So hopefully this will tell us something.
Yeah, and I think that it will. Look, even though the Bears are 8-4 and you just put record against record and you say, well, they're in a different category altogether than the Rams. Look, there are several of those games, and you guys have plowed this ground. The Bears could have won really all of the four games that they lost. And this is one of those games where everybody's going to be focused. Everyone's going to be prepared. Trubisky's going to be back. And this is a great opportunity. And because, but the last I saw the forecast, what, upper 20s, something like that, the Rams struggled a little bit with the Broncos when they played in cold earlier this year. I think the table is set very nicely for the Bears to take a little chunk out of the Rams. Doesn't mean the Bears are destined to get to the NFC Championship game or get to the Super Bowl, but I think they can. They can keep up with the Rams. They can slow that offense down just enough, and the Bears offense can do just enough against the suspect Rams defense, to come out on the right side of this. I've already made my official pick. I think the Bears are going to win.
Wow. That's against Mully and I both picking the Rams.
That's the emotional hedge, right?
Yeah, right.
Either way, you win. Yeah. Either you're right or the Bears win. No complaints.
Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, two guys having great years. Which one do you think will impact the game more? And are these two guys that are having more than just a great year, are these generational talents?
It really is amazing to see these two guys. And the Rams had dodged the bullet earlier this year when the Raiders dumped Mack right before the start of the season. And I think Sean McVay pointed out, well, even though we're not seeing him now, we're going to see him later. And now they get their chance to see him. And it really is incredible to see a guy, both guys who came in the same year. Mack was the fifth overall pick. Donald went out of the top 10. And Donald's getting the MVP buzz right now. And there's more and more people who are getting on board with this idea that maybe Donald should be the MVP. He's 1.5 sacks short of the record for interior defensive linemen in a single season. Keith Millard set that with Minnesota in 89. And 6 sacks short of Michael Strahan's asterisk single season record because he had that gift from Brett Favre that put him at 22.5. And, you know, if Donald sets the record, I think it makes it easier to vote for him for MVP. And, you know, I've suggested that maybe the voters, if they're determined to vote for a Ram, instead of splitting the votes and diluting the votes between Donald and Todd Gurley and Jared Goff, just everybody line up and vote for Aaron Donald or vote for Todd Gurley. Pick a guy who's the MVP, because otherwise it's going to create an opening for Drew Brees or Patrick Mahomes if you start splitting votes among multiple Rams players. But Mack and Donald, the best two defensive players in the NFL right now, all due respect to J.J. Watt. But I think Mack could impact the game more because I feel like Mack has more help around him. And what Mack's presence, look what it's done for Akeem Hicks. And I don't sense that the guys around Aaron Donald have benefited the same way that have stepped up the same way that the guys around Mack have.
I thought it was interesting to hear Todd Gurley say that, he finished 22 yards behind Kareem Hunt and say that was okay with him last year. And then he admits this year, you know what, I really want to win the rushing title. I really wanted that. How good is he? How good will he be against this Bears defense? And is this one of the biggest challenges that this offense is facing?
Well, you know, in the Rams' last high-profile game, that Monday nighter nearly 3 weeks ago against the Chiefs, Gurley disappeared relative to what he usually does. It turns out he had an ankle injury, but then when they came out of their bye, he wasn't on the injury report. So I don't know what the issue really was with Gurley, and will he step up in this big spot? Look, it feels inevitable that he's going to get his yards, he's going to catch passes, he's going to make things happen for that Rams offense. But, you know, he's not quite at the level Marshall Faulk once was for the Rams back when they were in St. Louis, but he is one of the best running backs in the game right now, and with Le'Veon Bell sidelined for the full year, then maybe Gurley is the top guy. And I like that he's being candid, but how many times do we hear guys say they don't care about the individual achievements? It's about what the team does. And when a guy starts making a comment like that publicly, that's when he opens himself up for criticism about whether he's really all in with the team's goals. And I assume he is, but would you rather get to the Super Bowl and win it, or would you rather be the leading rusher of all NFL running backs? I think that the obvious answer should be you want your team to go to the Super Bowl and win, regardless of how many yards you add to your own personal statistics.
This segment with Mike Florio is brought to you by Webb Ford. Searching for a great deal on Fords in Chicago? Visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. Mike, so the Chiefs get Kelvin Benjamin, who's cut by the Bills. Is this a case of a great offense getting a Josh Gordon-like boost, or is he going to even play any sort of role down the stretch?
I think the smart move is to take the next 4 weeks to get Kelvin Benjamin up to speed, to find something he can do for that team. Red zone threat, alternative to Travis Kelce when they get down close to the end zone, and then unleash him in the postseason. You know, my argument all along for Dez Bryant, once he didn't sign with the team for week one, just wait until Thanksgiving. Wait to find which team is going to best fit you. And he kind of did that with New Orleans and promptly got injured. But Benjamin at least has been playing. There have been some issues with him. The Bills just decided, look, it's not worth it. We're moving on. And we'll see what Andy Reid and the coaching staff there can do to get through to him. And to get, because when he's locked in, when he's in the right kind of shape, he really can contribute at a high level. But his career has not been stellar. He had 1,000 receiving yards as a rookie, tore the ACL in training camp the following year, and has never been back to that same level of production. He was close in 2016, but the last 2 years have really fallen off. And I think anything the Chiefs get out of this guy will be a bonus. And you know, we've seen Sammy Watkins with a foot problem for much of the past several weeks. Maybe this is a hedge against the possibility that Watkins can't contribute like they need him to. But when you have all those other weapons, there's a chance Kelvin Benjamin's going to be running around wide open. And he's a big target, big body, 6'5". And we know that Patrick Mahomes can put the ball wherever he needs to put it. So, you know, any other team, I'd be very, very skeptical. With the Chiefs, it's like, well, you know what? If they're doing this, they got a plan, and chances are the plan's going to work.
Mike, it was heartily depressing to hear the interview with Elisa Ennis on ABC's Good Morning America. She was the ex-girlfriend of Reuben Foster and talked about what she went through and how she lied for him because she was in love with him, and she learned through therapy that that's not love. And she said she was shocked that he was signed. And now, obviously, the Kareem Hunt situation comes up. This is a really black eye for the NFL to have issues like this, and to have the Washington Redskins claim the player. That was just – and it just is going to resonate with people.
Mike Tirico had a great suggestion over the weekend that when a player is on the commissioner exempt list, everything should freeze, and he can't be cut. If he's cut, he can't be claimed on waivers, because we created – the NFL created for itself, through what Washington did, 4 or 5 more days of coverage of Reuben Foster, given the fact that Washington claimed him, and they're paying him to not play. I mean, think about that. They are cutting him a check every week to just have him available for some point in the future, once he serves out whatever suspension the NFL is going to impose on him, to be available to play. And now this disclosure, that the recanting of the allegation of domestic violence from the February incident was false, and this is not abnormal behavior when you're talking about a domestic violence relationship, and the victim will try to protect the accused. That's a common dynamic. But from the NFL's perspective, if the victim in this case is motivated to cooperate, because the NFL can't force anyone to cooperate, but if she's now motivated to cooperate, and if she does cooperate, and she tells a compelling story of domestic violence from February and a separate incident from last month, then Reuben Foster is looking at 2 separate suspensions and baseline of 6 games for each one, with potential aggravating circumstances pushing one or both of them beyond 6 games. So the NFL, if they really want to drop the hammer on Reuben Foster, and Elisa Ennis is determined to cooperate to try to get whatever form of justice she can, it could end up being a very long time until we see Reuben Foster on a field. And, you know, one of these guys at some point is going to cross the line, and the NFL is going to banish them for life. And I'm not saying that Reuben Foster is the one, but at some point they're going to do it. Now, it was a de facto lifetime banishment that was imposed on Ray Rice, But I'm talking about the NFL at some point coming out and saying, you have forfeited forever the privilege of playing professional football. There are thousands of other guys who want to do it who don't get in trouble. You are no longer eligible to do so. Get out of here. And I feel like at some point the NFL needs to do that. If they want to send the right message to the public, to the media, to anyone who's paying attention, that they really do take this seriously. Jerry Jones used the term zero tolerance last week as it relates to domestic violence. He gave Greg Hardy a job. I mean, he doesn't know what zero tolerance means, or he thinks people are going to assume that the NFL really does believe that when the way the NFL teams have behaved tells us otherwise.
This segment brought to you by Bet Chicago for betting and fantasy football coverage. Download the app today and bet for free.
Mike, before we let you go, I thought Green Bay did a remarkable thing yesterday, letting Mike McCarthy back in the building, and maybe it was Wednesday, and to address his team. He got a standing ovation. How surprising was that? And what is their timetable? Do you think that they, you know, they're getting an early start? What does that really mean in terms of coaching? Coaching search in Green Bay?
Well, you know, what it means is it's not awkward when they start reaching out to agents and intermediaries to see who's going to be interested, because they do that anyway. But if it gets out, then it looks really bad if you still have your head coach. And it gives Mike McCarthy a chance to see whether or not he wants to coach the Browns or the Jets or any other job that's out there. There's going to be a run on offensive coaches this cycle, and the fact that McCarthy's an offensive coach should help. And as that standing ovation, I can't help but wonder whether or not it was I don't want to take anything away from it, but haven't we all been in a spot where, like, we're at a show or something,
feel
and everyone
compelled.
Else is standing up, and you're like, oh, God, do I really have to stand up? Like, who was the last guy to stand up? Was
Rogers.
Aaron Rodgers rolling his eyes?
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, really? Oh, I really don't want to stand up. But I think it's a nice gesture that doesn't fully balance the indignity of firing the guy abruptly at the end of a game. But, you know, they did what they thought they had to do. And I really wonder how attractive that job is. I really do wonder. We have run a poll question this week on our Twitter account. We talked about it on PFT Live multiple times. And the consensus I've reached is the Browns' job right now is viewed as a better job than the Packers. And really, how desirable is the Packers' job when, as the head coach, you have to find a way to reach the right relationship with Aaron Rodgers? Do you go too hard? Do you go too easy? How do you get that sweet spot where you get the most out of the guy? That's going to be the challenge for whoever takes that
and
job.
And which division is easier to win?
I think right now the AFC North is.
I would agree with that. That's why that's not
outrageous. And also, if you win in Cleveland, you know, if you win in Green Bay, the best you can be is the next Lombardi. If you go to Cleveland and win, you are Lombardi. They're going to build a statue. They're going to start pouring the bronze for the statue, or however they build. I guess they pour. I don't know what they do. But they're going to start building the damn thing out of whatever material they use. Yeah, as soon as the game ends, when you win the Super Bowl, if you ever pull that off. So I think there's and Baker Mayfield on the front end of his career, showing all the signs of being a franchise quarterback. One thing to keep an eye on, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I think there will at least be some exploration by the Packers, the Browns, maybe even the Jets, to finagle a current head coach from another team, right? That rarely happens, but this could be the year where one of these teams can catch the interest of a guy who's currently coaching as head coach another NFL team and work out that trade. It's not technically a trade, but it's compensation, draft picks, cash, whatever, like John Gruden to the Buccaneers after his original stint with the Raiders. Keep an eye on something like that bubbling up.
Mike, you're the best. Thank you.
Thanks Mike.
Guys.
That is Mike Florio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.